Q-Lynn Green, right after Miss Janet Jackson, Nasty.
Seen all night. What you doing after the movie?
Yes, and welcome to the Soul 70 Show, hey, with Q-Lynn and special guest host tonight, Miss Whitney.
Hello, cut off. I hear my song. There we go. You got the claps going. He's trying to cut
off. All right. We hit
my Nasty Boy song, Janet Jackson. That's one of my top favorite songs right there.
All right,
shout
let's do
to,
it.
Janet Jackson for having a birthday this weekend.
Hey, Q Lynn?
Yeah, you can't hear me?
Oh,
you
yeah.
Hear what I just said?
Turn up your mic just a little bit, okay?
Dang, how loud do you want me to go? Okay, you know they call me a raging lunatic when
I think you're doing just fine right there. Just there. Right there.
Right. I think you need to turn your hearing aid up because I think I was at the right level because I only did it a smidget. So, listen, so welcome to Soul Savage Radio, people. We already starting off. I thought you were going to let me finish my chicken wing. That's why I was trying to hear the music so I could finish my food. With me, I got food again.
Food again.
With the wings. The wings again.
It's the wings. They only gave me one extra one this time. Because usually Jose back there would hook me up with like six more, but Tyler was working there today. Y'all already know what that is. Tyler, Austin, one of them Caucasian names. It was a Caucasian back there making himself.
Yeah. They may have heard us talking about it on the radio. They may have heard us talking about it on the radio because EB and I, we've been complaining you're getting too many gifts here and you're not sharing it with your host.
Listen, I'm trying to hook y'all with the Starbucks gift card, but y'all saying y'all on the boycott because they always give me free gift cards and stuff like that. So if y'all boycott Starbucks, then you can get down with these gift cards, $20 gift cards. Get something with that. Make it work. Get like two drinks or something with that.
Yeah, something fishy's going on.
Maybe three drinks with tax. Or maybe get you a scone or something, like a muffin or what's it called? An apple fritter or something. Get something with that. With the $20 gift card. Yeah, we're back, y'all. If you notice, EB's gone this week. He's actually on tour right now. Told y'all he's promoting that Fishnet Condoms EP. A gospel EP that he just put out, not too long ago, and he's on tour right now. The first stop is in DC, and I'm just playing, he's in DC, doing his thing, doing some, DJ gigs, he's in, DC now, so. I think, Haley was supposed to be on, I think she, had something to do, but we got with, a co-founder, and told about her, Whitney. What you been up to? I know you just graduated this week. Congrats
on
that.
Yes!
I forgot to tell you that.
That's okay.
Right.
Congratulations. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was going to tell you on the air, congrats, because I was going to send you a text, and I was like, damn it, I forgot to send it. But I was like, I'll tell you. I won't forget.
Man, that's all right. That's all right. I appreciate that. I'm just glad I'm done so I can be ready.
All that hard work. You going back in it, or you going one more time, or you done?
It's too soon to even think about that. Like, I'm just glad I'm done, for real. I didn't realize I guess it's like how out of the loop with a lot of stuff I was. And then I finished, and I was like, man, what do I do? Like, I feel like I still need to turn in the paper or something, but I'm really done. Like, it's just nice. It's nice.
But, man, I'm telling y'all, man, I give all college students props because it's hard to do. To me, that's hard to do all that work.
Yeah.
Turn in papers and all that stuff. So, congratulations. What else you had going on this week? Was it just preparing for graduation, or did you have anything else going on?
No, that was really it. I mean, I'm working full time, so I'm always at work. But outside of that, that was really the big thing, which was huge. And then Haley graduated that Friday, so. Our parents had two graduations to go to, and I thought that was really dope because, you know, I can't ever really pay them back for anything that they've done financially or anything like that. But right. I was like, you know, this win is a family win. Like, I needed the support of everybody that I had, and it was just really good to be able to finish. And then Malaysia, for her to see Haley and I both graduating with master's degrees and, like, being able to talk to her about that and what that means and stuff like that, like, it just really, it was a humbling experience because I know, like, people think, that's not that hard, like, you just in school, but it does something to you after a while. Like, yeah, it starts to, I don't know, it's a bittersweet thing, but like I said, definitely glad to be done, and I can definitely talk to people now about what it really looks like, really trying to get through something like that in a totally different way and, you know, let them know the good, the bad, and the ugly because it wasn't all a great experience, but I'm done with it now.
So the people that think that college isn't hard, let me know that y'all made a 1.2
GPA in high school, because who, you go to college, you know how hard it is. So if you say that, then you definitely was in Tech 2, or you was in, let me not put that, because there's a lot of people that, I got my GED, let me not say that, but I'm just saying, y'all didn't further your education like y'all supposed to, y'all think that college is hard. And it also could be like that's like a full-time job almost too. Being a student, full-time student could be, because especially if you get ready to graduate and all that, that's a lot of hard work. So I already told y'all, my college education stopped like, junior year, I stopped, I was like, oh, I can get some money, right now. Like, I don't really gotta finish this degree, but I'm gonna go back and get it. But it's like, yeah, that sounds hard. I didn't even finish getting mine. I was like, so I always get props to all the college graduates. High school graduates is cool, but college graduates always show up, because that is hard to get all that, you know, accomplished. And then that, to me, getting a degree is like, you like stay the task and you are focused and you got it done. That's what that means. So you repping for the family. Our family, the Green, everybody. I don't know what to call our family. Was it Franklin or something? The Franklin, you're making the Franklin name proud. Graduate, getting the master's, getting all that stuff. Because I told you I'll stop. I know we got a couple more cousins that got degrees, but I'm like, I'm definitely not one of them. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing something on the road. I'll do something to make y'all proud, because I ain't doing that yet. But yeah, we'll get to a little bit of the savvy. I don't have a couple of updates. Two of them that responded back. Ivane, that sent the thing. I was hoping EB was on so he could hear the follow up with, I saw these two that they wrote back, I think last month or something like that. Ivane and King. The first one, Ivane said that when she, the one that EB said that grabbed by the genitalia, that letter, that email, that person, he told to do that. They went, she said she went on a date, it was cool, but she said that, she's looking to broaden her horizons and date some more. So she's not settling just with that guy. So she's trying to open, you know, and just, you know, she's getting a feel of it now. She's getting a couple of DMs out here. So she out here looking, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I think she said she was like 23 or something like that. So yeah, he's super young. Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. But yeah. Right, and so she didn't grab, I know, hopefully she didn't, I feel like she wouldn't grab, it makes me think that she took EB's advice and wants to grab people by genitalia. What she said, she wants to date multiple people at once. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you're young, you're in your early 20s, that's what she's supposed to do. And then King, I think I wrote back to him because, I think he wrote this a couple weeks ago, so I just wrote him back. I was asking him, he didn't give me a specific, he's a musician, and he was asking me how to, like, basically how to make money consistently being a musician. And I didn't really answer it. I didn't really give him a direct answer because that's a difficult question, especially if you're a musician. And I think that's the main problem with musicians, like, staying the task with trying to keep doing it full time, because they don't know which lane they want to get in. Like I said, I told him, he said he basically wants to tour. And I told him it's basically like networking and stuff like that, that he has to do his circle and he has to open his horizon to playing at different venues and getting in line with other musicians that are consistent and then having a great work ethic in terms of being on time. And most of the time when you do that, when you're around the right circles of musicians, they usually throw you a bone and get you a gig. But yeah, he said he wants to be a touring musician, so I just sent him a whole email about that. I would just want to tell him on air, thank you. I don't know if he got it or not, but to King, if you're listening, thank you for that email, and hopefully I helped you a little bit. So that's definitely a struggle, but yeah, hopefully that works out for you and you figure out what it is you're trying to do being a full-time musician. So, it's another update. It was a good question and I'm trying to find it because it was when, Helen, I think you were on that show when Helen and Haley were on talking about it kind of goes along with what Will was saying about, excuse me, about what he was saying about, lip syncing or something like that. Like, would we pay money to see somebody that, you know, lip syncs live? And I was like, I mean, yeah, I mean, if certain people that are known, like Madonna or somebody like that, like if Rihanna lip sync or something like that, like I look at performers, if they just perform and they're not a singer, I think that's more along the question. If it's a singer lip singing, would I go pay money to see it? And that's difficult because if we're talking like Beyonce, like she can sing, you know, and do both at the same time. But would I pay money to see her? Well, I would pay money to see concerts anyway. I usually, you know, get a review ticket or something like that. But I wouldn't want to see, if it's like a Kelly Price type of singer lip singing, hell no, I ain't paying no money to see no singer. Now, if it's like Beyonce, somebody that's like Janet Jackson or somebody that's performing, like, I kind of expect them, even though I don't think Beyonce, I don't think she lip syncs. If she does, she does a really good job of not showing it, because she's pretty good. She seems like she sings live, but if she doesn't sing live, then it wouldn't be like a deal breaker. I expect most of those singers that perform and all that stuff while singing, I expect them to lip sync most of the time. But if it's like a Tamia or Deborah Cox or something like that, or Jill Scott or somebody, nah, I ain't paying no money to see them lip sync live. You lost your mind. What do you think about that, Whitney? Would you pay to hear a singer, like a singer or either way, a performer lip sync or a singer? Would you pay for both, or is it different for you?
Nah, I think it's different for me too, because for one, like, I can't sing at all. So the thought of having, for me going to pay to watch somebody lip sync, I'm like, I could have did that. But I think there's something about actually hearing someone sing like a true vocalist live. Like, it's a beautiful experience. So I'm not knowingly going to pay to see you lip sync, I guess. Like, if I get there and it happens, it just did, but I'm not going to know about it and do it.
Yeah, like Mariah, like, especially Mariah, I know she lip syncs live. I'm like, girl, that's when I was
right.
Like, you need to give it up, because
right,
if you can't sing, you absolutely are the epitome of not doing anything on stage, but having people lift you up and take you to every section. So I believe you know things. I was trying to figure out, like, what extracurricular activity she be into, the reason why her voice is gone. Like, does she smoke cigarettes or something? I'm just going to say that, because I don't want to say she into something else, because her voice is gone. I'm like, what are you doing, the reason why your voice is gone? Like, extracurricular activities is you doing? That's just my wondering, because I'm like, I know it changes, your voice changes when you get older, but that only applies if you not take care of your voice like you're supposed to. That's what most of that boils down to, because if you get up there and age like she is, and you've been smoking and doing all and drinking all kinds of crazy stuff and not take care of your vocals, then yeah, it would. But it feel like it's something else with her, because I'm like, what do you do? Like, she ain't like out of, like, she ain't like no dancer, nothing like that. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, all you do, that's all you're supposed to do is sing. So why is your voice going out? That's literally all you do is sing. You don't perform, you don't do any of that. So that's what I was trying to figure out. What's going on? But that's just me. What you think of her? Would you pay to see Mariah sing?
If I could go back to see the Mariah that I found out about, like, as a kid, yeah, that Mariah is that, like, that's the Mariah that I like, with the curly hair, was just on there just jamming, grooving, but not the current Mariah. I'm not interested.
You're not interested now, the one now?
No, like, I'm real selective about what I spend money on, too. So I'm not saying, like,
right.
anything like that. If somebody gave me some tickets, of course I'm going to go. But if I found out she was coming through, I wouldn't just be like, yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, somebody's asking, how much will we pay for Beyonce tickets when we were talking about that with Helen and Haley? And I was like, I ain't paying nothing for no ticket. If they're not giving it to me, somebody giving me some tickets to see her, which I probably would go, but yeah, it's only in that case. I'm not like actually about to pay money to see her. You know how much the tickets cost? Like, even the nosebleed is like over like $900. I wish I would pay something more than, I don't even pay a car note that much. That's not like a car note to me, ma'am. No, I hate things to do that. And it don't even matter if I got it or not. I'm not paying that much money to see nobody, period. I don't even know what that's like. I guess that doesn't make me a fan, I guess, because I won't pay X amount of dollars. But I'm like, that ain't me. I can't do it.
You're not
alone. She's great, though. That doesn't take away from talent. I'm just saying I'm not paying no money. Now, if somebody wants to give me some tickets to go see Beyonce, absolutely. Now, actually, I feel like it's going to be like when she's in her, like, mid-40s by the time I see her. Because I don't see nobody giving me no free Beyonce tickets unless they just, like, they're just diehard, like, or they, not even diehard fans, but just, like, if they just don't want them anymore or something inconvenient to come up. That was probably the only reason why I get some, because I don't got, like, industry friends that break me off some of them because them things sell out fast. So I'll probably end up with, like, nosebleed seats. Like, it got to be. And they got, I want specifics, too. I want the VIP and all that stuff. Like, where the Beehive members at? It seems like they got, like, designated spots. Like, put me away from them. They, like, they need a separate. They need a separate. I need a separate room from them because that's where all the Beehive members, some of the Beehive members is in the VIP. Like, I don't hear all y'all yelling crazy. Well, I can't hear the, because I be looking at the videos on YouTube of people at concerts, and they be yelling louder than her. I was like, ooh, I can't even hear the crowd. I can't even hear her because of y'all. Talking about, yes, bitch, do that, bitch. I'm like, man, y'all need to chill. Y'all doing too much. But I think this last one, we got a lot of, I guess, feedback from people talking about the R. Kelly thing. And then they're talking about, I saw one, a comment saying that, damn it, I was going to bring this up in Raggedy News, but I don't care this much to talk about it. They're like, I think somebody else, I forgot what movement, some girl movement is doing. I don't think it's associated with Me Too movement, but they're asking for somebody named 6ix9ine, and who else? Chris Brown and somebody else's music to be stripped off of Spotify. And the only reason why I know who 6ix9ine is, Tech N9ne, because somebody on Instagram posted it. I'm like, who is this Messy Maya 2.0 with 69 Microsoft Word variations of a tattoo on his body? Like, why does he have 69 all over his body? That was weird. I was like, like, you got that much money to waste, or they look like homemade tattoos. I'm like, why does he have Microsoft Word font 69 all over his body? That's so strange, but that's the only reason why I know. And then Chris Brown, they were basically asking for his music, and I'm like, it kind of ties along with R. Kelly. They're like, it's the same thing. I'm like, no, not really. It's not the same thing, because R. Kelly is given a consistent of behavior of being trash. 6ix9ine is, most of his detriment is on himself. Yes, Chris Brown, but Chris Brown ain't like out here, like consistently out here, like closed fisting women, I don't think. So how can you, and then I saw somebody say, I think it was a producer I saw say this, he was like, well, we ain't gonna have no music then if y'all gonna take away from people. I'm like, it ain't even that such a like end of the spectrum argument. It's like one simple thing. It's like, I feel like people just want to have a reason to be mad about something, and it's annoying. Because it's like, when this whole R. Kelly thing, when I knew this was coming, the Me Too, I figured eventually they wouldn't get at. But for everybody's response to be like, oh, they're tearing a black man down. I'm like, when it was, they were like, why isn't Harvey Weinstein, we kind of talked about that last week, like, why isn't Harvey Weinstein in jail yet, but R. Kelly can be criticized? I'm like, or like when Bill Cosby got the guilty verdict, they were like, well, I can't. I'm like, y'all do realize that was like when all these alleged rapes and then this one that he just got convicted of. You know that happened like in 2014. Like, this is like 4 years ago when this happened, when all that speculation and all that big mainstream backlash came from him. That happened 4 years ago. And the Harvey Weinstein thing happened last year. And so when that Harvey Weinstein thing happened, all these black hotel people was like, oh, they're trying to like emasculate the man and not having to approach a woman now. You can't approach a woman now because of all this sexual harassment. Like, they were like justifying like half of these Caucasian men that were getting Me Too'd and all that stuff, that were getting backlash. They were like co-signing it. And so now they're trying to flip the script and say, oh, well, they need to go to jail. Now, are you serious? Like, that stuff like that, it's like, if you're going to be hypocrite, like, be consistent with it. But don't be a hypocrite to one to where you sound, like, so ignorant and so illogical at the same point. Because that's so stupid to me. And like I said last week, I'm over that whole conversation with this R. Kelly thing. It's as simple as it is. And if you can't see the simplicity of why we don't need to support R. Kelly, then it's no point of return, because I can't get through to somebody like that. So what you think of that, of just that before we go to break?
No,
of the R. Kelly, like those comparisons and all that with Spotify and the 6ix9ine, Chris Brown, do you think those are apples and oranges, or do you think it's the same?
No, I think that with, like, it's just with everything like this, it's like people try to make stuff complicated, and there's no reason to. Like, we see all this stuff with R. Kelly. It's not one time, it's not two times. At this point, it's not even like 20. There's all of this stuff out here. If you want to try to compare the R. Kelly situation to all these others, like, go ahead, do that all day, but you're not addressing the issue. Just, yeah, there's nothing else that we could say about it that hasn't already been said about it.
Right, and then it's just those people that like to play dumb because they don't want to know why it's important. It's like two articles.
Right.
The one the Village Voice put out in like 2011, I think it was, no, it was 2013, I believe, they put out. And that's when I was done. I think it might have been 2011. I got my years mixed up. But whatever year that Village Voice went out, like, that journalist gave, like, thorough research, like, documents of, like, 25, close to 27 documented police filings of R. Kelly in different, like, I told this before, this is common knowledge. Anybody can look this up. This isn't, like,
right,
secretive information. And basically, in the article, it gave a link, separate files, to where you could look at all these cases that he had pending against him. And then, that it was like different counties in Chicago that these were all related to. And he was given a whole story of like the stuff he used to do. Like, he would pay off base credits like a father. He paid off with a base credit on an album. And then that whole, like, just pervasive article, GQ article he did talking about being in a closet and how he was weirdly was infatuated with his mom and was like sort of in love with her or something. It was weird. It was like he said her lipstick would be on the glass and he would like tongue kiss it or something. It was just something strange. I'm like, how do y'all not see like this dude's like the worst kind of like perverse? And it's like, it's so sick. It's so disgusting. And it's like, how can you like not understand that art, your art reflects who you are, like, on the inside, and that R. Kelly's art clearly shows how much of a, like, dirty person he is. But at this point, I'm tired of arguing about it. I said my piece on multiple shows on here, and I'm done with it. It's at this point, I say this and we'll go to break. I say all the time, people are going to say what they want to say, people are going to hear what they want to hear, and they're going to act how they want to act. But it all boils down to how much of the hypocrisy you're going to tolerate and admit exists. And that's all I'm going to say about it. And we can go to break after that. Will, if you ready, we can go to break. We give a birthday appreciation to all show to Janet Jackson. We got Janet Jackson tunes all week. I mean, all show. So, got to get into it. We'll be right back.
Janet Jackson, the pleasure principal. Hey. Welcome back. Soul Savvy Show. Q Lynn Green and special guest, Whitney.
Yep. Tell you these chicken wings is a pleasure principle, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Pleasure principle. My damn. Yeah, we give a birthday appreciation to Janet Jackson also. And yeah, what we're gonna do right now, we're gonna get to the 6 minutes of rage. Six minutes of rage with Will, a.k.a. The Savvy, 6 minutes of the Savvy Report. And Will, you ready? We get right to it.
All right.
That's what I talk about, because there's a lot of stuff that happened.
All right. Hey, oh, boy. Hey, we've got it for you here. 6 minutes of rage here on the Soul Savvy Show. Hey, let's do it. Hey folks, welcome to 6 minutes of rage. Hey, that's the theme from The Sopranos. And that's exactly what it seems like these days. Oh, like a mob movie made for TV. The best thing. Hey, check out CNN and MSNBC, folks. The Sopranos. Hey, starring. Oh, you know who it is. Oh, the king himself up there, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, along with his cohort, Michael Cohen. Oh boy, have you heard about Cambridge Analytica? I mean, it's just like a mob movie. If you like mob movies, you know, hey, check this out. Hey, you aren't gonna believe what's going on. These guys right here, they're paying bribes, they're extortion, all sorts of things that's going on. You're not gonna be, let me set this up for you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know that the president's office was raided his lawyer's office was raided a couple of weeks ago, and it got a lot of information out that we don't even know about as Americans. But there were payments. Now, you know, your president said he knew nothing about the Stormy Daniels sex payment. He knew nothing about it. Had nothing to do with talk to his lawyer. But come find out, hey, he got another brilliant guy in his, on his corner right now. Rudy Giuliani. If you know this clown, this lawyer, you have to know, is he making things better or is he making it worse? But he came out and said, the president did know. The president did pay. And guess what? You know why? Because he had to disclose that on his report this year. Okay? His expense report. He had to, guess what? But he's a year too late because it was supposed to be reported last year. Now, this lawyer, Michael Cohen, if you don't know the story, he's collected over $4 million so far that we know. And guess what? He says it was for advice and so you can get close to the president. He was selling access to the president. Folks, is that legal? I don't know whether it is or not, but there's some things going on. I thought that the president was going to clean out the swamp. He was going to drain the swamp. Guess what, folks? No, he's filling the swamp. The slimiest, sleaziest snakes in the world, they're in there right now. And speaking of that, do you know what I'm also enraged and outraged about is that your president called the people trying to get into the United States because they want to feed their families. They want to escape fear from coming from the southern countries. He called them animals. You know, I take exception to that. Anybody he doesn't like, guess what? That's what he thinks about you. You understand? And that's anybody who doesn't have money. But guess what? Let me tell you why this shapes up to be just the perfect mafia movie. You've got Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, George Papadopoulos. Come on now. Jared Kushner, Don Jr. Hey, what a genius that brickhead is. You got Michael Friend. And also, hey, you know, there's an investigation going on, but he calls it fake news. Fake news. And you know what? We also had a shooting in Texas today. I just want you to bring up on that. And you have to say, hey, you know what? The fish always stinks at the head. And we've been having a problem here out of this, White House here because things are breaking out that has never broken out here in the last, as far as I can remember. Do you know that somebody called a black person, the N-word? And I'm just going to say nigger in the Black Panther movie. Did you know about that? And what about happening in Starbucks and Waffle House? Grandmothers getting dragged out of the car and being arrested. I can't believe this crap is going on out here in this country. It makes no sense to me. Oh, these stage rallies that you see? And guess what, folks? You need to read your newspaper. You need to check on the news, because guess what? There's a firm who is defunct right now called Cambridge Analytica. You want to know about that? Why do you want to know about that? Because guess what? They targeted black folks. Did you know that? And Steve Bannon, who was the right-hand man to the president, guess what? He was on the board of Cambridge Analytica. They wanted to divide the country. They wanted to start a race war. Folks, you need to pay close attention to what I'm trying to tell you. Cambridge Analytica, they targeted us. They did. Okay, and Russia was involved as well. And then also, guess what? This guy claims that he's going to make America great again. He's going to bring the world together. He just started a war between, guess what, Israel and Palestine. You know, have you noticed that? How about what's going on with Iran and Israel? And I can't leave this out, folks. My favorite clown of all times, he gets the Clown of the Year award, and that's your boy, Paris Denard. You know, Trump can do anything, and guess what? He will defend him. I can't believe this is what it is. Guess what? And that's why they want the investigation over. You know what? The mob wants their investigations over, too. You know why? Because it's something there. Folks, this has been the 6 minutes of rage on the Soul Savage Show. Hey, I am Will. Hey, back. All right, Q Lynn.
I don't even watch The Sopranos, though.
I used to watch them. I love The Sopranos. Soprano. Oh, you know what? I didn't like.
Hey, Tony. Get out of here. I don't even know. I'm trying to get my Italian accent together. I got to work on it. Yeah. What, you got an Italian accent? You got one?
In my stereotypical. No,
not at all. Forget about it.
It would be offensive.
I actually got a good one, but I can't say it on the radio. Because right, they talk like really foul mouth.
Hey, Q-Lan, I have a question for you.
I
want to
say you Mooney, I think they call black people Mooney. I think, Jig over there. Okay. The jig. Get the jig out of here. Get out of here.
Okay. Q-Lan, got a question for you and Whitney. Got a question for you and Whitney. What do you think about this firm, Cambridge Analytica, that targeted black folks and to start a racial divide and suppress the black vote? What do you think about that, or have you heard about it?
I've heard about it, but I don't think that Russian bot, I know they had like Russian bots that was like creating fake black accounts and stuff to say crazy stuff about black people, but I just think black people just made an initial effort not to vote because it was this big thing on the internet. Once Bernie Sanders lost, most of them were supporting Bernie, and then they were like they wouldn't vote for Hillary because of something she said back in the 90s about Predator and all that stuff. Stuff they wasn't alive to hear or wasn't even fully an adult to figure out what that climate was in terms of gang violence and stuff like that. What they don't know is there was a lot of black people that was in President Clinton's cabinet that supported that, and it was a good majority of black people that was supporting, because gang violence was crazy back then. So I understand this whole, they were, that nonsense about Trump and Clinton being on the same level in terms of evil. I'm like, it's two different ones. This person is like literally being trying to put on authoritarianism. Like, he's legitimately trying to be a dictator. Like, everything in his actions is like that. And to say that Clinton and Trump was on there, I'm like, that's such a, like, it's such a false equivalence, because that's not even what it was. I'm like, you can't possibly say that if Hillary Clinton would have won, that she would be trying to get immigration and all these different things, and different laws passed in terms of trying to start a war on drugs again. Like with the Reagan era, she would not be doing all of that. Now, she might have been passive in terms of
the first term, she probably would have been passive, but that, I'd rather have passive than, like, basically trying to demolish everything that Obama did and the different things that he had in place, taking those away. Like, you can't say that that was the same thing. So when I hear black people say that, it drives me crazy, because if you look at it, a good majority of them didn't turn out to vote. That's all it was. Because even with those numbers that were considered to be high in terms of Caucasian women having 53% of Caucasian, that 53% wasn't enough. Like, even with the independent, they said that could have made a difference if they would have voted for Clinton. I'm like, none of that would have mattered if black people would have came out and voted. That's what the issue was, because all of them had the narrative that Clinton was as evil as Trump, and that's simply not factually true. And I don't care what nobody say. I would debate until I'm blue in the face that that's not true. That's a false equivalent. And the fact that people are still running with that 2 years later is asinine to me. But yeah, that's all it was that, right? It was a lot of people saying this. This was a majority thing. If you ask black people, they thought that Clinton was just as bad as Trump, and that's simply the fact. It had nothing to do with white people, Caucasian people in middle America being in power. It had nothing to do with that. It had something to do with Bernie Sanders didn't win, and everybody that voted during the Democratic candidacy before the primary, if they wasn't rocking with Clinton then they wasn't voting, and that's what it was. And same with Bernie Sanders people. Anybody that voted for Bernie Sanders, they wasn't going over to Clinton. And that's just simply what it is, and you can't deny that, because the statistics and who voted proves that. Like, this isn't up for debate. This is fact. Like, black people didn't vote. That's why Trump won. And that's why he was saying crazy things about black people, like, what do you got to lose? Like, he was saying that because he knew that they were more into getting that audience of his that believes the stuff that want to kick Mexicans out and think Mexicans are taking all the jobs. He was playing to that base, so he didn't care that the black people vote. Yes, his votes went up. Now, he'll say, like, goofy shit, like, oh, I had more black votes than Romney. I'm like, that's like a 3% increase. Are you serious? Like, from 6% to 12 or something, or 9%? Like, what difference did that make? That's what I'm saying. It's like, people say black people voted for Trump. I'm like, that's such a, like, non-issue thing. So when people say that, I don't care whether the Russians, I think, in terms of putting out fake news stories against Clinton, I think the people that want to be persuaded and wanted to think evil of Clinton, that was there. But I don't think that them imposing in on that made a difference. I just feel like I think the biggest thing was that when Comey did that investigation, during that stupid-ass investigation with those emails, now that's what killed everything, if you ask me, because they had that shit going on while because I remember when that was, like, when that happened, like, 2015, and I was like, I remember being in the beauty shop, like, why are they looking at her emails? Because she's running for office, is that why? And then come to find out, that's what it was. And then it was just because she had a private server, because this woman is not updated on computer stuff. It was not during her Secretary of State days. That makes it criminal. Like, what's going on? And then when Comey went back, when he decided to release that during the election, when the basically saying that there wasn't no criminal things going on with that whole investigation, yes, that effed up the whole thing, because that was still going on while the election was going on, because he made that a talking point during the debate. So all that was BS. All of it was BS. Because you had people, whatever they felt, they were going to feel that way. They just wanted a reason they felt like they needed proof. And I think those emails was another thing that was like, yep, it just proved. I think it's just some people that wanted to see the bad. They just wanted evidence of that being so. And so those emails were sort of like that dangling thing for them to hold on and say, hey, like, she was evil. See, I told you, like, this is just stupid stuff like that. So I don't think those Russian bots, their influence wasn't enough. I just feel like people felt that way about Clinton. I think even during Obama, when she was going against what was it, 2008, when Obama and Clinton were going at it, like, they were talking about that back then. So That's my opinion. What do you think, Whitney?
I think everything is just so confusing right now that it doesn't necessarily matter what really happened. It's what you can make people think happened or what they think is going on. Because, like, a lot of stuff that you talked about, like, it's kind of like the Childish Gambino, that This Is America video. Like, there's so much stuff going on at once. It's really hard to concentrate on what's what, but not just that, what's fact and what's fiction, and who tells us what's fact and what's fiction anymore. I know when people were voting, I had a lot of friends that were like that too, who were like, well, I'm clearly not voting for Trump, but I'm also not voting for Clinton because of all of the stuff that she's done to black people. And I'd be like, well, what do you mean? Like, you don't want to vote for nobody because of that? I'm like, you don't think that a vote, like, wait, what? I'm like, you do see, like, these are two totally different people. Like, yes, nobody in any presidential anything is ever perfect, but I'm like, you don't think it might be worse if you get in office? Like, maybe we should rally to put the lesser of the two up, and then we try to fight that battle instead of letting Trump get in office and then try to fight that nonsense. Like, it's causing us all to be in, like, this really weird divide. Like, it's, what do you do with that? And then having found out about the information with the Cambridge Analytics, it's just like it's another thing that you have to decipher. It's just a lot going on.
Well, I think the main thing is just groupthink. People don't like thinking for themselves. They want other people to tell them how to feel. Like, most of that information with Clinton, they're basing it off of a video, but it's like, do you realize, like, what America was like in the 90s? Like, it wasn't, like, yes, the economy was great with Clinton because he knew how to balance the checks and balances. He was amazing at that. You got to give him credit for that because it was amazing during then. But gang violence was real. Like, this was, it ain't like now, like, for people to say that gang violence is the same as the 90s, you're absolutely lying, because it was nothing like that. It was people, like, real killers out there in the streets. And so when she made that comment, she was talking about predators that was killing babies, gang members that were killing grandmas and mothers and stuff. That's when she's talking about predators. And to try to group that in, saying that whole three strikes you're out rule with the crack epidemic in terms of charging black people, which that was true, but that was, I'm not making excuses for it, but you got to be able to look at what the real issue was. And when you look at it, that was everybody's solution because it was out of control. You can't sit here and say that rule, maybe yes, they needed adjustments in what that policy was, that legislation was when they passed it, because with that, it became like a mass incarceration problem that still exists now. But you got to be able to be intelligent enough to separate what that issue was. And back then, that was, I don't think they had a long, I don't think Clinton had a long-term policy in place for that. I think they were just trying to deal with that immediate problem. And that's the same thing with Bush, with the whole Iraq war. Like, he didn't see past his nose because that 911 situation. And so he made a lot of stupid decisions in terms of, in Congress as well, that in that situation they didn't realize, like, what they were getting into, that they would still be in war, like, so many years later, almost a decade later, until Obama, you know, got all that situation, until Obama got in office, all that changed. But like I'm saying, they were looking at an immediate solution, and at the time that worked because they did get a lot of people that was gang members off the street, because that was real. Like, and then there's a lot of people that don't look at it from that because they're like 18 or to close to 25 now, and they're trying to create new boundaries of what, how the world works now with back then. And I'm like, they do the same thing with TV shows in terms of, like, oh, this is misogyny. I'm like, back then everybody could say what they wanted to on TV. So you can't apply today's rules or how society works now with back then, because that doesn't make sense. It was two different worlds. So that's just my opinion. I feel like people that feel that way, I feel like they're limited in terms of getting the whole scope of how things work. And I just didn't see that. And it's a lot of people that still debate me on that in terms of the lesser evil ideology. I find it asinine. I can't find no logic in that, because that's just my opinion. I don't find no logic in saying that was too less of evil because I feel like you just, basically all you did when you didn't vote, you voted for Trump. Because to say that your vote doesn't matter, they count, politicians count on you saying that. So Republicans, that's how they've always checked in terms of government and everything that goes on, whether if it's a mayor, anything to deal with the Senate, that's how they like it. They like when people don't vote. Because Republicans, say what you want, but they're all like, they like a game. Cause they all stick together. You see it now, like anything that Trump does, they go rock with it because they trying to look at what's gonna happen in the midterms and what people, like Will said, he says almost every show, y'all gotta get out and vote during the midterms. That's the bottom line, because if y'all don't go out and vote, then everything that they're trying to put in place in terms of, everything that Obama did, and not even just specifically on that, the stuff that was in place before he was in office and the stuff they're trying to take away, they're going to have majority rules. If y'all let them take over the House and the Senate, if everything is going to be, y'all just played into their hands, but I don't feel like that's going to happen. I think they're waiting. They think that because of everything that went on, that all this is going to die down, but I think it's other young people that's organizing. I think that girl Yara Shahidi that's on Blackish and Grownish, she created an organization for 18-year-olds that are getting ready to vote for the first time this year. And she's polarizing that to get them all together to vote come midterms. And she's, like, real focused on that. So she's getting a lot of young people involved with voting. I feel like it's going to be – I feel like it's going to be way bigger than when was it? That when in Obama's second term, 2012, that was demonstrably, like, played into the Republicans' hand that last midterm because no black people voted. It was 4% of black people that voted during the midterms. And so I feel like it's going to be a big, huge, I feel like it's going to be a big, huge turnout. But I feel like I still think the Republicans are counting on the House and the Senate come midterms. We got to turn that around, but that's all I got to say so we can get into Raggedy and Savvy News. You got to go to top it off with, Whitney before we get to the news topics.
No, I'm good on that one.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Will. You go.
All right, just had just one comment. And we're missing a point here. Hillary Clinton won that election by 3 million votes. And what we're forgetting now.
I'm saying that. I'm just saying that it wouldn't have been so close if black people voted. That's my point. What the hell is it called?
It's called the Electoral College. The Electoral College.
Which is fake. Like that if they would have voted in those cities.
But you understand where these people voted was there is no city. It's back in the rural areas that was protected, and this goes way back before.
No. Because I'll challenge that because Obama won those states primarily in the first and second term. Right. I'm saying that those people that voted for him didn't vote for Hillary. That's a big difference.
Yeah, but we don't know what those
numbers in terms of who voted.
Yeah, and those places that we're speaking of are not populated by black folks in most places. What I'm saying is, if she won by one vote, she should have won the election. We're talking about the popular vote. This is what the people want. The Electoral College has always been a rigged system. This is what people don't understand. I understand that.
Yeah, but it would have. I'm saying that it would have been close if black people.
3 million votes.
Turn out to vote like they did the last two elections.
Three million votes.
That's what I'm saying. The numbers don't reflect that. It wouldn't have been that close if those same amount of people that voted. Nobody voted. That's my point. The numbers was, it wouldn't have been that close if they would have voted. That's my point.
My point is, should she have won by 5 million, 6 million, 7 million, 8 million? She won by 3 million votes. The point I'm getting at, we need to get rid of the Electoral College.
Yes, that too. That as well. But I'm just saying that even with that, if she would have won those states, And one of the same amount of people that voted for Obama, those same people, it was such a great deduction from what happened in the past. It was like people didn't even know an election was happening. That's how drastic it was. It wasn't even that same thing. I get it. Like yes, if the independents that voted for the Jill Stein, whatever her name is, if they would have put that over with Hillary, if those people voted yes. Absolutely, she would have won. And the numbers is rigged. The Electoral College is. That system is played out.
That's exactly right.
But I'm just saying But it's besides the point. It's like people just didn't vote, and that's just what it is. And those people that were for Bernie Sanders, they were gung-ho on, like, it was all or nothing during that Democratic candidacy. And so when he didn't win, it's such a multitude of reasons why she lost. But the main one is, I think that what was brought up, I think the show I was watching, I feel like the DNC did create, I feel like they should have let Bernie Sanders through. I always said that. He would have blew, if they would have let him in, he would have blew Trump out, because they didn't want, DNC didn't want Bernie because they feel like he was too risky, and that they didn't like that he was so into the student loans and giving student loans of terms of making it, getting away with student loans, and then also with paying higher wages to people that work raising the minimum wage basically to $15. That was his whole campaign thing, was raising it $15. And you're getting all the millennial votes, like, why would you stop that? And that's what I'm saying. It was multitude of people that, what was her name? That black lady, I forgot, that works in the DNC, that was the head of it. She said that they made it a thing not to have him in there. So you gotta look at it, like, why would you not want to push that message? And I'm like, that's what ruined it to me. But I'm like, they should have had, with the thing with voting, you gotta have somebody, that talking to the people. And that campaign that he was running on with the minimum wage, like, that's clearly what's going on in society right now. And for them to have Clinton in there instead of Bernie Sanders, that ruined it to me. But it's such a multitude of reasons. But I did, that's definitely valid what you're saying in terms of the electoral college. I agree 100%. I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying in the real reason why is just people didn't vote. And
then you have to ask yourself, why didn't they vote? Why didn't they vote? And I tell you what,
I told you in the beginning.
No, you're dismissing that. No, you're dismissing Cambridge Analytica, and there were millions of dollars put in this campaign to suppress the black vote. And see, this is what we don't understand, and we're not paying attention to that. And look, I'm telling you, these people spend millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars for what reason? To suppress the black vote. And everybody thought, well, hey, Hillary's going to win, I'm not going to vote, for whatever reason. I'm telling you right now, there's a conspiracy going on.
But I'm just saying they didn't vote, period. They all had various reasons.
Well, yeah.
But that all comes down to them not voting.
Yeah, but don't discount.
Still, are you saying that Cambridge, that they put in the money to keep people from voting?
Yes.
To prevent them from voting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You.
As a matter of fact, there are articles, it's all over, it's all, if, just Google it. You'll find out. And they even had a worker from Cambridge Analytica to tell you that was their agenda. They had a whistleblower, I'm telling you what I know, to do this, and their whole job, part of their company's job was to suppress the black vote so Trump could win. Check it out. You can Google it. It's just that easy.
So you saying that the suppressing the vote, meaning that...
To keep you from voting.
Sending a website link. What is it?
Well, they sent out all sorts of information to suppress the vote. Because, see, a lot of people, were surprised.
What kind of information?
Well, there were a lot of things that they did to suppress the information. We don't have time to get into all of the details, but however. Well, guess what? You put out something like this that lets people think that, okay, well, Trump is going to win anyway. A lot of people had the attitude, hey, Hillary's going to win this thing. Oh, there's no way in the world Trump is going to be president of the United States. And so why should I vote? That's one way of doing it. And then also, there's some information that the voting machines may have been tampered with. There were lots of things that went on to suppress the black vote. Historically speaking, it has happened over and over again. It has happened before. I mean, check it out. I mean, I'm serious about this. So, if people think that, oh, why should I vote? She's going to win anyway. Oh, I don't need to do that. Right. And then you get blindsided. That's one way of doing it. That's just one example.
Yeah. That's simply what I was saying. I was just saying, I said it was various reasons why people didn't vote, but that one, I didn't say that one you just mentioned, but it goes along with what I was saying about them saying comparing Clinton and Trump and saying that it was, that was the ideology, that was a real thing that was going on. If you ask any of those high echelon black elite or anybody that feels like they're pan-Africanism and all that stuff, they basically said that they were less than, you're both for the two lessons of evil. And that was most of the narrative. And then also with a lot of people thinking that Clinton, because I was one of those people, like, she got this in a bag. This dude is an idiot. Like, he is not going. I said that, like, early right. in the summer until I read that article
oh,
by
I did
Michael
too.
Moore saying that he was going to win. He was going to win because Clinton wasn't focusing on those states that Michigan, Wyoming, he said Michigan, Virginia, North Carolina. He said Michael Moore, the film director, the famous film director, he wrote an article like in summer of 2016. Summer 2016, he wrote an article, and I remember thinking, I'm like, oh crap, that is right, because she didn't go to none of those cities, and it was kind of late going there. She didn't have any of those people, none of those states, and I was like, oh man, he might be right, because he was the first one to say that Trump was going to win because Hillary's not paying attention, and he's a hardcore liberal, and so he was saying, because I remember him being on Bill Maher saying that he hated to say it because he knew it was going, he predicted that Trump was going to win. He was the only one publicly that said that because he statistically was looking at what she was doing at the moment, and it was that had a fact, I'm saying that there was a multitude of reasons. It wasn't one, and then there might be once they get the investigation and what you just said about the website, all that plays a part in it. But I'm just saying that those core reasons why, in terms of him not focusing on blacks and saying crazy stuff about black people during his campaign and all that, he didn't care because he felt, I feel like him and his party, everybody in his campaign knew that if he can get a good turnout, get more turnout than what they've done in the past, because I think they said that he had more Caucasian votes or blue collar votes than Mitt Romney or some crap like that. But I'm just saying all that, what you're saying, it all combines in why he won. And I get that. I'm just saying that it's a good amount of black people that just didn't vote, and the numbers show that. And I think we're both saying the same thing. You're just saying, giving another point to why they've made an effort not to suppress the black vote. And that's true as well. I think all of it's true. It's a multitude of reasons why he won. But yeah, I think we're all saying the same thing. It's just that you're adding more information, and I'm not discounting none of that, because that's probably factual. Once I look it up, all that stuff is out there, so it is factual. But I'm just saying that it was a multitude of reasons. It just wasn't one or two specifics. It was a many, like even before the primaries, this was like way before then. Like, we can go all the way back and really pinpoint what it is, but we're running out of time, so we get to the raggedy and savvy news. We'll start with the raggedy news. Oh my God, I just saw this a couple of days ago. Some man walking into a store, I was trying to get the name of it, some Caucasian lawyer. Basically, he's caught him on camera saying something crazy about, he was mad that it was people that were speaking Spanish. It was a customer speaking Spanish to the employee, and he had a problem with it, and the whole video is showing a rant of this man saying, he's like, you're speaking Spanish and she's speaking Spanish. He's like, I pay your taxes. I pay your welfare. You need to, this is America. You need to speak English. All this BS he was throwing out there. I just want to say to that Caucasian man on camera. And also, I think it was the Washington Post, some journal or some photographers rolled up on him. And he had his whole face covered, and he was running from them because they were asking. He was like, how long have you been a racist? I thought that was funny. One of the guys was asking him. He was like, well, how long did you decide to be a racist? And then they would just, and then he was trying to call the police on them because he said they were harassing them or something like that. I was going to say to that Caucasian man, first of all, let Whitney go before I pop off. I just saved myself from customs.
Nah,
so I was just getting ready to throw out food.
I've seen that. And people are really trying it right now. I'm like, this is, so, you know, like everything in history, I feel, repeats. And I'm like, is this this generation's version of Jim Crow, where y'all are like out here doing this cowardly stuff, just running, they're speaking Spanish and that's a problem. That's bothering you like that. What I find so like beautiful about these moments though is that with the use of technology, it ain't like we can't find out.
Right.
His name is Aaron Schlossberg or whatever.
When I seen the reporters
run up on him, I was cracking up because I'm like, oh, so now you bothered that you getting harassed, but you brought every single bit of this on yourself. Nobody was bothering you. Nobody was talking to you. You rolled up, started running your mouth, and now you standing over here outside with your umbrella out, tucked up under it extra tight, whispering on your phone, talking about they bothering me. Like, nobody is even touching you.
But
you started this. Like, this is your fault.
Such trash. I'm so tired of not even just Caucasians, black people as well, anybody other than Latino saying that about different Latinos that speak Spanish in public, or anybody. They do it with Asian people as well. Like, if everybody from that, if you're not a Native American, which I am, I know Whitney is, you're Native American as well. So, anybody, we got rights to say whatever we want to, because we built this mug for free. You hear me? We was here. We built it for free, and we got they took our stuff as well. So we get in on both sides of it. So I'm saying this: if you ain't a Native American, all y'all is immigrants. Every single one of y'all, you Anglo-Saxons, what else? Everybody from over there, Irish. If you're Irish, if you're Italian, if you what else is Scottish? All y'all is immigrants. So don't say. And, oh, my God, that man, he was so indignant. I get so tired of hearing people say that about Mexicans. Y'all just try Latinos. It reminds me of that bad-built Caucasian lady that was telling that woman on camera to speak English or something like that. And then the black lady was trying to help her. She was like, oh, it's a nigger out here. Your nigger friend is helping you. I was like, this lady she just did all of the above with racism. Like, she hit every, like, she assaulted, said racist stuff about the Mexican lady, then she went full fold with college, making racist slurs. It was just every single level she hit with racism. I don't know what to call that. When you assault every race in one video, it reminded me of that. But then he said something else. I forgot what he said. He insulted the woman, and she was like, why don't you go get hit by a bus, you douche, or you piece of shit? I was dying when she said that. She was like, I hope you didn't get hit by a bus, you piece of shit. I was dying. But yeah, man, F that dude, man. See, stuff like that made me mad, because it keep making me revert back and think back when that old-ass Caucasian man was trying to make me move my car because he didn't think I was supposed to park there just because I was black. It just keep popping up. Every time. I'm like, it's stuff like that. And then I saw some ignorant that black people, it was some black people were saying that it was like, we got too much on our plate to be worrying about other races. What? That sounds crazy. So you don't have like simple empathy for somebody that's being wrong? You think you the only race that's been done wrong? It's all about you? Are you serious? What do you think about people that say that? They say, we got too many things we gotta worry about other people getting basically oppressed as well. What do you think of that, Whitney?
Well, I think like in any struggle that ever has been, especially with groups of people, including black people, we've always had like allies on the other side to help us along the way. And not saying that we couldn't have done it without the help of someone else, but it definitely makes it easier. And I think people need to remember that, like, for the most part, you don't get anywhere on your own. And so it doesn't take much of anything just for you to show a little empathy towards someone else, especially if you've ever been in a situation where you've been scared that someone was going to hurt or attack you for your race, or you've been lost somewhere and you're a little paranoid because you see what happens in real life to people when they're stranded. It takes nothing for you to just be nice. And worst case, if you can't do that, just at least keep your crazy comments to yourself, because nobody needs that.
Right. And he's in Midtown Manhattan, and it's like, dude, every part of New York, they speak Spanish. So what, Dominicans, right. Puerto Ricans, like, what is it? Oh, man. And then Twitter, I think Twitter and Instagram was lighting up. I know Amanda Seals, shout out to Amanda Seals, man, out here. She had, I think in her Instagram story, she had put all his information on her Instagram story, and that I think they called his bar associate to write complaints about him. And then she also had something to where they said they redirected her to some commitment, something to where you deal with that, but they said you can't be a client of, she had like basically was informing them like the reason why you the bar show you can go higher than the bar associates to complain about this douchebag. And so the guy, I think it's like a direct commencement or something you can say something to instead of his bar associates, because I think they said the only thing is that you can't be a client and complain, but I don't think that's the case, because I feel like it's just going to be a lot of people that just saw that video and they're going to be writing his complaints. So hopefully he gets fired or something. The internet gets an update on this guy. Hopefully he's like disbarred or something like that, because he don't need to, especially look into, I think it was somebody else, the activist, saying that whoever he works for, whatever associate company he works at, they need to investigate any of if he has any cases that deal with racial things or whatever, that need to look into that, if he did anything, you know, that was biased or anything, racially biased or anything like that. So shout out to people that's getting this racist clown together. He's terrible. I told you, I got so many choice words that I can't say over on the radio. I have so many of them. Ah, it's hard to hold back my time. We call them a saltine Anglo-Saxon. That's what we call them. Saltine Anglo-Saxon. Colonizer. That's a good one as well. Let's see what else we got in Raggedy News. I don't think I have that much Raggedy News. It was just stuff that I was seeing because I'm not really on the internet like I used to. But yeah, this Caucasian lady that called the police on this woman when she was sleeping in the common area at Yale, a Yale student, and then there was a young man, I can't think of his name, he's on CNN on a Don Lemon show. I watched a clip of it, and he was giving his interaction with this girl, and he was basically saying he was trying to find somebody that lived in that certain floor. And he was basically asking this girl, the woman, how to get somewhere, I guess, to that room. And she was, like, bombarding him with questions and stuff like that. And then she started, like, throwing those saltine tears around and basically trying to make it seem like he was making her uncomfortable. And you know how, like, Caucasian women do that, be going on 100 trying to, like, you know, saying she's going to call the police on him and stuff like that. And he's basically retelling the story on Don Lemon. And so this happened before, this black woman, he said the young lady that she did that to, that Yale student, that he's friends with her. So he was saying that he basically saying that she did that to him too. And I thought, man, and they were basically saying something like off her head. But I feel like that's a cop out. Like, this lady is just a privileged a-hole and just feel like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, why that's a thing to where you feel like just because you're uncomfortable, you call police on somebody. Like, what sense does that make? And then it was burning me up when that woman was saying, I was glad that she stood her ground and wasn't backing down. Like, she was like, no, I live here. Like, I'm supposed to be here and you're harassing me. And then the black police was talking about this isn't harassment or something. And I'm like, yes, it is harassment. I'm like, you basically, this woman has a key to her apartment. What sense does that make? Like, she can't even take a nap. I'm pretty sure that's a common thing in that room to do. She called so sweet study and all that. Like, what sense does that make? And they were basically saying that this is protocol and all that stuff. I'm like, this is crazy. I feel like I need to, like, research, like, how big it is with legislation in terms of people that make false, claims or false calls to police. Like, what's the ramifications of what's the consequence when they do that if it's not a true 911 call. Like,
I need to research that some more, because I feel like this. What that student was saying, that they were pressing Yale to do further investigation with this woman and punish this girl for doing that. So they're trying to look into that. I did read that update yesterday. So yeah, what did you think of that man that said that basically that happened to him too? I think I should have looked up his name before we got here. I forgot to. But what do you think of that story?
I mean, there's a lot of that going on too. And that's why I said it feels like it's this generation, like this is what we get. We're getting like all the harassing things. Like, you just out here living regular life, trying to do whatever it is that you want to do, and people are calling the cops on you. So it's like, what am I supposed to do if I'm really not doing anything wrong? Just like the woman, I think they're calling her Barbecue Becky or something like that, that called the
call. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Black man that was having the barbecue, and she's on the phone. And then you have the other woman who's filming it, and she's like, why are you calling the cops on these people? They're not doing anything wrong. They're just out here having a barbecue. And the whole time, that woman is just clutching her phone like she really needs to call the police for this. And I'm like, what is this? Like, what is the problem? They need to fine every single one of those people that call the cops, because taxpayers have to pay those salaries. So if I got to pay taxes and you calling the cops on me, and I'm out here doing nothing to you or anyone else for that matter, then they ought to fine you for that. And I ought to get something for it, too. Like, that's harassment.
Right, exactly. That lady, like, soon as the police came, she was putting on 100. I was ready to chop that lady in throat, but then the internet took over, and it's like so many memes. I don't know when it started, but I've been seeing those memes like all week. I'm like, man, y'all wild out here. They like anything like that, like Martin Luther King meme. They had Fresh Prince of Bel Air meme. All kinds of ones. It was like all kinds of memes. I can't think of all of them, but I was like, man, y'all wilding on the internet this week. But yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, all those problematic Caucasians this week can go in the trash can. Every single one of them. Every single one of these problematic saltines can go in the trash.
Saltines.
Right, exactly. And we move on to Savvy News. Like I said, mentioned earlier, we're celebrating Janet Jackson's birthday appreciation all this show. She'll be playing songs throughout the show. Shout outs to her, Janet Jackson, and also Savvy News Billboard Awards. She's performing on Sunday night on ABC Network, premiering the Billboard Awards. And so she's going to be performing on there. I think I heard Salt and Pepper was performing too, but I'll definitely check out those two performances, because I feel like Salt and Pepper is doing the medley of their songs. That's pretty cool, so I'm going to watch that. And then Janet Jackson as well, I believe. I think she's getting an award, a Legend Award, and then also performing, so that's cool as well. I don't know if, I think Salt and Pepper's getting a Legend Award too. But yeah, definitely check those out. Sunday, that's the only thing I'm going to listen to, watch, because I don't know none of these Caucasian pop artists they got performing. Disinterested, so I'm just going to watch that, give them their little views for that. I usually try to watch it online, but you know these channels like Viacom and all that stuff, they be trying to take those videos down, because some people upload them by themselves. Some of the networks don't upload it on their channels, but they've been trying to take down everybody's videos at different award shows. I'm like, man, y'all trash. Y'all do know, like, live. That's going to be a thing. I feel like award shows is going to come distinct at some point, because don't nobody really watch live shows like that no more. If you're being honest, unless it's somebody like Beyonce, like if they like announce like Beyonce or somebody's performing to where they can get in those viewers, but that's it. But most of the award shows, viewership is going down. I think every award show. And that's going to be a distinct thing, because nobody watches live shows no more. Half the people don't even have cable. They watch it on like Hulu, Netflix and stuff like that. Like those paid streaming services. Don't nobody watch cable. Don't nobody got cable TV no more. Be watching it live like that. So y'all need to post these videos so you get your viewership up, because y'all sure ain't getting them on the show. But yeah, that's just my only gripe, because I'm like, that, but now they're going to force me to watch it on TV because I know it's not going to be up. Like, it might be up to, like, maybe that one day, but then when I go look at it, if I didn't finish watching it, they're going to take it off. So, wait, you going to watch it, the Billboard, or are you going to do like I do, try to watch it on the internet, Janet Jackson and all that stuff? Are you a big Janet Jackson fan? I've got to ask you that.
Yeah, I like Janet Jackson. Like, I'll check that out. Especially now, no school. Like, I'm watching everything.
Right. I try to watch it live because it's funny. Because there'll be funny moments that happen on award shows, and that's really how, like, Twitter culture happens. Because a lot of people, like, tweeting live. Like, they like tweeting. And most of the time, I don't like watching. I'll be on Twitter. I don't like being on Twitter when it be TV shows on that I haven't watched. Like, that's why I haven't watched Power. So they'll ruin the whole show and give everything away. And Scandal, that's why I've been watched Scandal in 2 seasons. I know it's already off the, now. They did their final season of the show, but I've stopped at some point because they kept spoiling it. I'm like, I don't want, like, spoilers. They'll spoil the Power show. I started watching The Walking Dead, but then they started giving away who was getting killed. I'm like, oh, I ain't watching this no more. But definitely live tweeting award shows is always dope because then that's where meme culture really started, was with award shows, because they'll come with them real fast. I think the first meme, I think, of the internet, those memes started was with, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the VMA show when Little Mama jumped on stage when Jay-Z and Alicia Keys perform. I think that was the first scene ever. So they took her picture and was putting it in places that didn't belong. They didn't put it next to the Statue of Liberty. They were putting it in all random places that mean. And then it just took off because I think Instagram had just started and then there was like, it kind of transferred over to there. And so I think that's where all the meme culture started, was from Little Mama. I think Little Mama popped it off because I remember watching it live and being on Twitter. Twitter like exploded when that happened. It was crazy. It was so many funny tweets because she just came out of nowhere. Like, it was legitimately like the last 30 seconds of their song. Like, you hear Alicia Keys, like, the hook was like, you're like in New York. And then Lil Mama come out with a handsprings, like she was drunk. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And then Jay-Z tried to give her a little pat to get off the stage. And she's like, nah, man, I'm feeling this. What's up, New York? And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. This is really happening live on TV. This is insane. And then it was like people had video footage of her before getting on stage. And Beyonce trying to grab her and keep her from going on stage. It was great. That was a funny, those are funny moments on Twitter. But yeah, Twitter is just a hilarious place to like watch shows live. So I may or may not watch it. Sometimes people, it just depends on who it is. I feel like the Twitter experience, it feels like people that I would know because they like, I'm only here for the black people or something like it. Like how they watch Family Feud. They're like, I'm only going for the black family. I'm like, why do we all think like that? That's crazy. Like, it's people that, like, it's just certain people you follow, they say the same stuff you'd be thinking. It's like, do you live with me? Like, how do you know, like, how do all, like, some of us black people, like, how we think like this? I'm like, that's crazy. But that's what I'd be thinking of while watching TV shows like that. Billboard, they kind of tried it, though, because I've kind of been done with them since they did that Madonna Prince tribute. Oh, I wrote a whole article about that because it pissed me off so much with that Prince tribute. And she did Nothing Compared to You and made it an atrocity, a legacy. I was like, oh, my God. And then it was that woman, what's her name, Sarah Gilbert's wife, the one that be making those anti-depression songs, writer. What's her name? You know who I'm talking about, the one that wrote for Christina Aguilera and Pink. Writing those anti-depressant songs. The one that wrote Beautiful for Christina Aguilera. Yeah, she trashed. She said that people was like trying to name like Morris Day and Sheila E. the greats, that musicians that Prince respected and revered, and she gonna say they irrelevant. That stuff still got me hot when she said that. I'm like, is you serious? That's the only people Prince walked doing tributes there. What you talking about? He didn't rock with Madonna. Well, let me get off on a tangent. Let me get off that before I get mad. That made me mad getting into my Prince zone. You don't want me getting that Prince zone. I was start cussing and everything. I got so mad at that Madonna tribute. Y'all want to look up that article. It's on Medium. I think it's under my name, Kulin Green. I'm trying to remember the name of the article. I think it was just, I forgot what I named it, but if you don't look it up on Medium, my name, I think if you just type in my name, it should pop up. The Billboard Awards, Madonna article I did, you can look that up on there. I think it's like 5 minute read, so it ain't that long. But yeah, some more savvy news. I think, Issa Rae just, I saw her tweet yesterday, or whatever, whenever it was, I saw it yesterday on Instagram, because Instagram be messing up with the chronological order of my timeline, so I see things like 3 days later when they posted, but I don't remember when she posted it, but she posted the season 3 of Insecure. It comes back in August. I believe August 12th is the exact date it comes back. So yeah, I thought it was coming back in June, but I think they pushed it back. Because I think they started filming it late. They're filming, I think they just wrapped, they wrapped the, filming this week, I think. So yeah, I think they pushed back the date because it was supposed to be released in June, and so they made it go back like 2 months. I mean, go forward 2 months because it was supposed to be released in June. But she has an actual date. It comes out August, so how are you looking forward to watching it, season 3? What you think is gonna happen? The season 3 of Insecure.
Man, I'm about to watch all the seasons. Like, I wasn't playing when I said I ain't watched TV in a minute. Like, I ain't seen nothing. So I'm excited to watch all of it. So I was a big fan of Awkward Black Girl. Like, before she even got to this point, I thought that show was, like, it had, I don't know, just this unspoken quality to it that I hadn't seen before. So that and ATL, I still ain't seen. Like, that's how far behind I am.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you said you caught up, or you said you behind still?
No, I am behind, but I will be caught up.
Oh.
I got all the channels. I got all the stuff now. I'm ready.
I was about to say, you just look up on HBO to go. Long, like I told you before, as long as you get rid of it before that free trial, you can knock that out, that season out, within hours. If you just get HBO to go that day and then cancel it. And just keep him on and cancel it before you forget.
Yep, I set reminders so I know to cancel the stuff before I get charged. So when y'all told me about that, that's why I was like, okay, cool. Like, I know what I'm going to do when I finish. I'm going to go ahead and get my trial, get all caught up. So by the time the actual season comes out, I'll...
Right, exactly. Yeah, we only got like a couple more news topics before we go to break. This next one, I got from this article. I've read it, I keep forgetting to talk about it. I read it a couple months ago when it came out, but it was pretty, pretty good. And I think anybody that's trying to get healthy, or if they, you know, already healthy, anything that, any inquisitors, anything that have like direct questions about their health, anything specific that they needed to work on, I think this article, it will help a lot of people. And Grub, the article comes from GrubStreet.com. I think the title of it, the article is "The Last Conversation You'll Ever Need to Have About Eating Right." And it says, is Mark Bittman and Dr. David L. Katz patiently answering pretty much every question we could think of about healthy food. And the article is by Mark. Wait. I think it's Mark Bittman asking the doctor questions. That's what it says. It was a pretty good article. To sum up, it's basically like anything you needed to know in terms of, I think it started out asking about, veganism, about which diet is best for a vegan, vegetarian, or omnivores. And it basically was saying that he was giving honest answers, and I think the first question was like he didn't know. And it says, he was basically saying that no study proves that one diet is best for human health or whatever. And so it says the basic theme of what you need is this emphasis on vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, lentils, nuts, seeds, and plain water for thirst. And then it says that can be with or without seafood, without dairy products, with or without eggs. And it says with or without some meat, and then high or low total fat. So what do you think? I thought it was just really good. Like the specificity of like different things of like our food groups and stuff that's important for us. And then also what works against us health-wise, I think it kind of narrowed down, like, different. I guess if you had any skeptical things about veganism or vegetarianism, you know, you can answer. What do you think of the article?
Well, it's I think it's very timely because there's a lot of debate going on back and forth about food in general, what diet works best, and things like that. And I know, like, personally, like, I've been looking at that a lot with food, like, and seeing what feels, like, what makes me feel different depending on what I eat. And so I found, like, when I started boosting my levels of fruits and vegetables, I felt better. And so then that's just how I started to eat. And I think the article was good about kind of focusing in on that. Like, there's not necessarily one way to do it because we don't actually have the studies to back any of that up. So kind of a little bit of common sense. You eat more fruits, you eat more veggies because you know those are good for you. If you add in meat, great. If you don't, that's okay too. Like, I think a lot of people are just, there's so many options and so many people telling you what to eat that you kind of forget to think about, okay, do I feel good when I eat this? Great, keep eating it. Like, don't overcomplicate your food.
Right, and I think it, like, hit on, like, people doing toxins and detoxing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a real big one because I know a lot of people do that. But I see when people do juicing, they'll gain, like, all that weight back because
yeah.
I feel like, yeah, and I think it hit on pretty well. And they were basically saying that your primary reason you're supposed to, primary thing you're supposed to work on in your body is your liver and your kidneys. And so, and your immune system. And so as long as you, that's cleansed and your immune system is good, then you shouldn't need a toxin. They're not saying it was bad, but it's just the way it affects your body that I guess it didn't specify if it's like really, really bad, but I think it would be bad. Or do that. I think if you just focus on your, the doctor said that your immune system, then it wouldn't be, that you shouldn't be able to detox. Cause I think most people that detox, they're like sugars and, what else? Sugars and alcohol, but basically, some of the sugar is in alcohol, so that would be synonymously the same thing. But yeah. And they'll go back, like, they'll do that juicing, but then they'll go back. And I think that's why they gain the weight, because all that, I guess, did, like, what's the thing, like, when you're, like, something shrinks up and you put something in it and then it makes it bigger? I forgot what the analogy was, but basically it's like that. Like, you basically detox from that, then you put it all back in. I could see why you would gain all that back, because you're basically depriving yourself of that. I guess.
Right, and you can't, and your body, you're not going to live on juice and smoothies and things like that anyway. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, you can do that for a short period of time to lose weight quickly if you're trying to, I don't know, fit into a dress or something. But it's not healthy and it's not sustainable. So the moment you start eating food again, of course you're going to gain the weight and then you're unhappy.
Right.
Like, it's all about balance. Like, you can have all this different stuff, but you just can't go overboard with it.
Right, and I think it's just more of like a lifestyle change. I don't look at it like diet. Like, when in terms of eating right, I look at a lifestyle change. Like, for me, I figured out what works for my body. I was going to ask you, like, what is it that you learned over the years, like, getting older, like, what works for you food-wise that affects you, like, in a good way, in a bad way? What'd you learn?
Well, I'd say, like, more recently, maybe in, like, the last, I would say last few years, and it's evolved a little bit even since then, but I know, like, growing up, all the stuff that I really, really, really liked to eat, as I got older, you know, your body and stuff changes, and I was like, man, I'm starting to look a little pudgy. Well, I didn't run around as much as I got older as I did when I was a kid. So I was like, okay, I can't eat this stuff like that anymore. That's all it is, and I also need to make sure I make an effort to work out. And then over the last several years, like, I had a lot of issues just feeling sluggish and feeling heavy, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't necessarily gaining weight. And so that's when I started really looking at what I was eating, where I was buying it from, paying attention to how I prepare my food as well, and, like, just a lot of those little changes, like getting more veggies especially in, getting better snacks and limiting the amount of, like, empty calories, like from ice cream and stuff like that, that helps me keep it all in balance. Like, I still eat those same foods. I still eat the delicious Sunday dinners my mama cooks, but through the week, I just can't eat like that all the time because it doesn't make me feel good anymore, and it's harder for me to, like, recover from that type of food, so I just limit
it. Yeah, definitely. And then I get all the jokes all the time. They're like, oh, you still Muslim? It's like, I don't
eat
pork.
Yeah, I get that
like,
too.
What? Like, and that's every time. That's the running joke. My uncles and aunts and cousins, all them are. They're like, you still Muslim and all that just because I don't eat pork. And I'm like, it's bad. And they were like, well, I got to have pork. I'm like, and then there was other people trying to give me advice. Like, I'm like, I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm like, but they were trying to get me on fitness. I'm like, I know what works. I'm like, you got to do what works for your body. Like, what works for you may not work for me. Like, my thing is, what gets me going is as long as I get a nice amount of protein and fibers every day, I usually go pretty good. And I stay away from processed foods because processed foods definitely affect. I think it was that fast I did, like, a few years ago. I did, like, a back-to-back fast. It was actually three fasts I did back-to-back all the way through. First one I did was, like, no meat. And then that was good, and then I did a no-sugar one, and that was crazy, because I was like, yo, this is like a drug, like, this is for real, like, you don't realize, I didn't realize how, like, I needed something sweet after everything I ate, and I didn't realize that was a thing I was doing, and then it was like, I was looking at ice cream like crazy, I was like, yo, this is like a fiend type of feeling, felt like a drug. And then that I did a 30-day fast for that, 30 days, and then another 30 days. A 90-day fast, and I did no meat and no sugar. And I think all of that really cleansed me of any kind of processed foods because it was like, even when I tried to attempt to eat sugar, it's something like really processed now, like a Little Debbie snack. It's so sweet to me now, and it makes me sick, like, immediately. And I can't eat anything further. Like, somebody tried to give – I think it was, like, my niece or somebody tried to give me a piece of candy or something they got. I think it was, like, on Easter or something. And I got just a little piece. I'm like, oh, this is – it was just like a – like a one of those chocolate eggs or something, like one of those milk chocolate eggs. I just took like one bite of it. I'm like, ooh, this is too sweet. I don't like this. And then they're like, that's how you know you're getting old because you say everything is too sweet. I'm like, that's what it is. I'm like, that's too sweet. I can't eat that. And it's like anything that's processed, snack cakes and all that stuff, I can't eat any of that because it'll give me a headache and it makes me sick. And then Vienna sausages, something like processed like that, like any kind of frozen foods, I can't eat any of that because it'll make me sick. And I think that's what helped with that fast because now I don't even crave that stuff. Now, like sugars, like now I replaced it like with alcohol, like that my alcohol consumption really, like you don't realize like that's like you don't get like why people say, oh, that's why they call it a beer belly. You don't think about that, like how that translates to your health and like, oh, that's why they call that that, because you're consuming a lot of sugar with the alcohol. And then it's like when you look at that and it's like that's your primary reason and then not exercising as much, it's like it makes you like evaluate everything you got going on. But then it's just other people that don't care and just eat whatever they want to. And I'm like, that's cool, but it's like you're going to get old one day. And it's like, and then it's like you got to think about that. And so that's what I'm thinking about now, my health, like, years later and stuff like that. And just saying I'm really leaning towards being vegan because I've already cut out dairy products. And that was something I learned earlier today, that dairy products are affecting me a great deal. So I kind of eliminated it completely. I think some of it, I think, like, trying to find substitutes, like sour cream, I substitute, like, Greek yogurt. And then what are some other cheese products, like, use different kind of vegan stuff that fits with me more. And then like with milk, get like almond milk instead of like, I was just getting like 12% milk, but now I'm just getting like almond milk or cashew. Like if I eat ice cream, I get cashew milk and stuff like that, ice cream. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. I just think whatever works for you, but definitely this article is definitely a good one to look at. I think it hits every conversation, any kind of tell conversation randomly you ever had with somebody. I think any of the questions you have, I think that article answers it if you question certain things about your diet. Also, carbs is a big thing as well. I think that's a lot of that translates to fat. You know, there's a lot of food that have carbs in it and sugar in it that's not supposed to be in it. And also, like, eliminating high fructose corn syrup, that's in a lot of food. It's in fast food. It's in your bread. It's in everything. Because a lot of these companies put chemicals in there and a lot of replacements. So they basically, if you just look on the back of the thing and see, like, the ingredients in it, if it doesn't have anything natural, if it say something like red 7, blue 9 or something, you ain't supposed to be eating that. So it definitely has to say high fructose corn syrup, like with sodas. Definitely most of them have high fructose corn syrup in it, like Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, definitely all the dark sodas, like Pepsi and Dr. Pepper, Coke, and all that stuff. They got high sugars, like over 70 grams of sugar, maybe more than that, and high fructose corn syrup. That high fructose corn syrup is a sleeping killer right there, because a lot of people don't know about that. But yeah, I definitely eliminate high fructose corn syrup completely. And if you do that, I think it will definitely change, because that's the addiction, I think, is that sugar right there. But yeah, we'll move on to, I think the last thing before we go to break, Jennifer Lewis' Breakfast Club interview. I thought it was so insightful and so profound. She always like has this like, dynamic, control of, the way she speaks and how she gets people engaged with how she talks. And I think that's such a cool thing that, she's like so enlightening and has so much wisdom. I just thought the whole interview was dope. Did you watch it?
I did. I thought it was really great, and especially I love the attention that she brought to mental illness and like just hearing all of that. I had never really heard any of that part of her story before, and so especially right now that seems to be a pretty big topic, and especially in like the Black community, I'm starting to see a lot more people talk about it openly, trying to bring awareness to it and let people know, like, it's okay if you're recognizing that something is wrong. You just need to get help just like you would with any other illness. So I thought that was really big. But I always like watching people like her when they go to the Breakfast Club. Like, it doesn't seem like they transform that show into something else. Like, the way that she
right.
captivated that room is just like, man, like, I had chills when she was saying, when she said to millennials, like, y'all had a Black president. Like, and she was saying it to say, like, if you can't take what's going on right now and see, like, the path that people are opening up for you and do something with that, like, you're the problem. Like, she's, like, just
right,
everything
exactly.
that she did, it was a great one. Like, it was, I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was so chilling. And then she was
yeah.
talking about, I need to read that book. It's a mm-hmm. couple books that I need to read, like Gabrielle Union's book and Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
I think I read maybe 30 pages of that book, but I was, like, so busy. But once I know I get some downtime, some real downtime, I'm going to read all those books. But, yeah, she definitely said, she's like, I put it all in there. She's like, she's so animated and great. It's,
yes.
like, she's so honest. It's such, a, like, a perfect honesty of, like,
yes.
being of a certain age and be like, F it, I'm going to say whatever I want to.
Right.
And that's, like,
right.
real freedom and her, like, and then her saying self-awareness, like, that's a big thing.
Right.
I think everybody needs to take away from that self-awareness, like, look at what it is. And I feel like people treat it like an afterthought, like, just like with exercise, you got to make that your daily ritual, like, just like how you brush your teeth and you do your hair and you put on clean clothes, if you do that, because I know a lot of people don't. But I'm just saying, the people that make that a daily habit and ritual, you need to make self-awareness, your self-health and your self-love a daily ritual, and I think that's the biggest point I got from that Breakfast Club interview and how she's so in tune with herself. And that's a big thing, because if you can't see like how you talk to people or how you're in, what your energy is doing to the next person or how are you elevating the next people, then that's a real problem, because a lot of people get in their head that it's everybody else but them. And I'm like, that's an issue. You can't look at a situation like everybody has a part in the reason why somebody's energy, and it could be just a completely misunderstanding or miscommunication, but if you can't do that self-analyzation on yourself daily and figure out what it is that you're putting out, the energy you're putting out to other people, then that's a big problem. And I feel like she said, I think with that mental health and everything she's saying about going, I think therapy is good for everybody. I feel like that's a big thing in the Black community, that we need to get rid of that mind state and the ideology that we don't need therapy and that we need Jesus and all that stuff. And I'm like, that's good, but I feel like it's a lot of people that say that make a great point, say that God, that Jesus made doctors for a reason. So I'm like, I feel like that's the conversations that we need to have. I feel like Jennifer Lewis, like, really, I feel like she's my auntie. Like, I feel like she wants, like, I feel like she's like a great aunt or something. Like, she just be hitting truth. But yeah, if we got the time, we're gonna go to break real quick, and I really want Will's opinion on this topic. We gonna speak on for a little bit. I'm gonna say Michael Jackson. Michael Jordan versus LeBron. I just want to like get some perspective on this debate and get y'all opinions on that. So if Will's ready, we can take a little quick break and talk about this topic real quick before we end the show. If you're ready, we go to another Jackson song.
I can't.
I Get So Lonely, that's Janet Jackson. Hey, we're back. This is the Soul Savage Show with Q-Lynn Green and special guest host Whitney. Welcome back.
My jam right there. I love that song. The chord arrangement, man, that's probably one of the top five hardest songs I've ever played on the piano because it's played in a crazy chord, R&B chord. I don't want to get musician nerd on y'all, but that song is hard to play. And it's such a great arrangement. I love that whole song. Yeah. Shout out to Janet Jackson, one of the top. I don't know why people don't list her as best performance, too, when they list Michael Jackson and Beyonce, because she, like, sets the blueprint for all the female performers out there. That's, like, doing the 8 count and everything. Beyonce wouldn't have that 8 count without Janet. Let's keep it funky. We get into the root of it. Not root, the root. Janet Jackson all day, every day. Every time I think of Janet Jackson, I think of the 80s classic, the Control album. Everything about the 80s was Janet Jackson, too. Because Michael Jackson, that's crazy, too, when you think about it. You had Michael Jackson running it, you had Prince running it, and you had Janet Jackson that was killing it with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And then they were doing, it's crazy getting into it, but we're going to last few minutes. Talk about, hopefully get an extra 10 talking, because I feel like I'm going to get hyped up talking about LeBron and stuff like that, because if y'all follow me on Twitter and know my history on there, and then also in real life, I get even dirtier, because then I can let it all, my hate flourish, you know, in my home when I'm watching the games and stuff like that. Shout out to Boston for holding down this 2-0 lead, and they going to Cleveland. Hopefully y'all can get one. I got it going to game 5. That's my calling. I think Cleveland may win one. I got them winning one in Cleveland and then Boston taking one. But yeah, I got a little mix up. But yeah, game 5, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know which game they're going to lose, but I feel like, no, I said game 6. Let me take that back. I said game 6. I got to correct myself. I feel like they're going to get 2 wins, but I don't know where they're going to get those 2 wins at. But yeah, that's it. But Michael Jordan versus LeBron. Every time he does something, it don't matter what it is. He gives a triple-double. He got a triple-double the last game. That don't mean squat because they lost. It made me so mad that Boston played so good and they spent every segment on every sports show talking about LeBron. I'm like, I don't know if this is homophobic to say or not, but y'all just suck him off so much. I'm just so tired of it. It just drives me crazy watching. Like, you think at halftime y'all going to finally say, but they always blame it on the supporting cast of behind LeBron. I'm like, he picked him. I'm like, that's his fault. Like, he the one putting his hand to the GM trying to get certain players. That's his fault for wanting all these young players that's inexperienced. But Michael Jordan versus LeBron James, I feel like everybody wants to surpass him by Jordan. I'm going to say this right now. I would give a damn if you put him in, if Jordan in this era, or if you put LeBron in Jordan era. If he got this mentality, today versus back then, he wouldn't even make it. People say he would have dominated. Man, it was so many. The game changed so much since, the Jordan era. Like, they implemented the, 3 seconds on defense. That didn't exist back then. They implemented the 2-3 zone where the big man isn't in the center anymore. They're on the outside of the block. So that affects everything, his ability to get to the rim. So that wouldn't be in question. He could get clotheslined by Charles Oakley every game that they played against New York. Like, get out of here. Like, New York probably would have won a championship if they had to play. If they had to play LeBron, New York probably would have won one against Cleveland if they would have played LeBron. But what do y'all think of this debate versus, y'all know I rock with Jordan all day. Ain't nobody, especially him, anybody that comes close to Jordan is Kobe. And Jordan said that out of his own mouth, that Kobe's the only one that comes close. And everything with his demeanor and his mental awareness out on the floor is absolutely Michael Jordan all day. Kobe's the only one that comes close. But I'd love to hear y'all opinions on it real quick before we go of what y'all think of this debate, MJ versus LeBron.
Whitney?
Whitney, you go ahead.
I'm not going to put LeBron over Jordan. And I think a lot of, I don't get it. I don't think they're the same. Like, they're two different players. I don't think you can really compare them like that. And like you said, with the game being different now than it was then, there's a lot of just, like, little actions that I see from LeBron that makes me think he wouldn't. I just don't see it. I don't think he's better, and I don't think he's a bad player, obviously, because of everything that he's done, but I don't think he's better than Jordan. I also am not sure how Jordan would play with the players that LeBron plays with, but I think he would be fine. Like, I don't get people saying LeBron is better. I just don't see it. But I could also be a little more biased because I grew up watching Jordan, thinking like, yo, this dude is it. Like, people still rocking Jordan stuff now, and even watching LeBron play right now too, I'm like, is this the same LeBron that I've been seeing play? Like, I'm not really impressed, but maybe he's just tired, you know?
Well, that's good.
Go ahead, Will. I love your opinion.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, both of you bring interesting points, out, and I have to agree with both of you that the game has changed so much, that it would be different today. And so before I make my comment, I have a question to ask you now. When you start talking about greatness, are you speaking of the abilities of the players, which both of them great, great, great abilities along with Kobe, or are you talking about the number of championships? Does that come into play with your thinking?
I never bring in the championship. I'm talking about all around the offense and defense. I'm taking into account. Now, other people bring in the championship rings. Now, I always made jokes against LeBron when he didn't have one, and they were just jokes to me, but I never, like, any of the points, debates that I had with people about LeBron. Mine is simply on the mentality and his ability to, his team effort and getting the team together in terms of, being cohesively together to get a win, and then also his defense and the things that he gets away with that wouldn't. Like, I feel like offensively, when we look at, I love, like, I give him credit for his athletic ability, but I'm like, is it really effective if most of the centers and the big guys can't get in the middle to stop him? Like, everything is an after effect of how they're responding to him. Like, they can't get to him fast because they, like I said, they implemented the 2-3 zone to where the big guy can't be in the middle because they'll call it 3 seconds in the lane on defense. And so all of them have to be on the block, and so they have to be aware of where he is. And then also his ball movement skills. Like, if you really look at how he moves the ball, like, he basically facilitates the ball when he's out there. If you look at how he gets to the lane, he has no dribble skills, and he has no crossover ability, no dribbling skills. And so everything he does is a whole lateral movement, and it's all based upon his speed getting to the goal. That's all it is, in him overpowering somebody. And then most of the time, he's walking to get there. And so I remember somebody saying, look how forceful. I'm like, you would be forceful, too, if you took 7 steps to the goal to get there. I hate how people don't take that in consideration of how powerful he is, because he gets to get away with so much because of his size. And he has no lateral movement. And the best thing that what Boston's doing is making the effort to not let him get to the goal as easily as he wants to. And that's the biggest change. Everybody is aware. And the thing is, everybody, even when they try to switch off with the pick and roll with Boston, everybody can match up against LeBron. That's the crazy thing. And none of the sports analysts that be on ESPN or on TNT never analyze that they all can switch off on LeBron and can stop him. Like, and when you don't have any moves to get to the goal, you're limited to a jump shot or three. And when he came out in game two to try to keep shooting, I was like, okay, he gets an easy open one. But what's going to happen when he gets tired? He got tired within, like, the last 2 minutes of the first game, and he couldn't hit anymore. I'm like, that's what happens when you build your whole athleticism around getting to the goal. Now he's older now, and he can't get to the goal like he used to 10 years ago. Now he's limited to shooting threes and all that. And I know that's a common thing for older, veteran athletes, NBA athletes, that they limited that, but he doesn't have any range. Like, he literally
They said he was at Boston's gym like early that a.m., like 10 a.m. or something, shooting threes. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything if you can't deal with on the ball dribble, like on the ball, like somebody playing defense against you hitting those threes. The reason why Curry can hit those threes is because he has limitless range to where he's not affected by somebody guarding him. He's not affected by that. So when you leave him open, that's easy money for Curry or anybody, or Harden, because they focus on that contact defense to shoot over somebody. Just like with Durant, he can score over anybody because of his length. And I never understood why people look at him as the best athlete right now when Durant can do all of the above better than him. And I think they just do it because of his size, because he's not as buff as the muscle wise. He's not as bad, but he's just as strong as him because he can get to the goal. He can create his own shots. And he's consistent scorer, and he can go inside and outside. So that's just my thing. I feel like he's overrated to the max. I feel like LeBron James is hella overrated, in that if you try to compare him to back then, he would be getting clotheslined every game because nobody was playing that, going to the rim, trying to score over a 7-1 center. Like, no way that would happen. And then also he's a crybaby. He's a bitch. I can't stand him. Like, he cries after every foul, and he creates that contact to get a foul. Like, he pushes off to try to, he pushes off almost every game, and Thompson's a big head, square body, always setting him illegal screens to let him get through. It's just ridiculous. And he's such a bitch. And then they finally created that rule to where you get fined when you flop, because he was like the main person when he was at Miami flopping every 5 minutes getting to the goal. Like, get out of here. Like, I'm not, my LeBron hate is real, but it's definitely accurate criticism. And
okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Hey, look, I feel like my criticism is accurate.
Okay, all right.
Because
okay.
Y'all can't deny what I'm saying.
Well,
like, most haters, they just say it just because. Like, if you want me to go to the finals, if you look at everything that he's played, it was never his performance. Because if you look at his performances in the finals, the games in Miami and at Cleveland, he never won it for them. It was always the bench. People want to sleep on James Jones. People want to sleep on Ray Allen. People want to sleep on, what's his name? The Caucasian dude. What was his name? I forgot his name. He's at Milwaukee now, I think. But he won that championship. He won. The dude that was coming off the bench, he won that game.
You talk about that little roach that was running around. Oh my God.
Right.
I know exactly.
Right. It was always the bench. Like, if you don't have a bench and a consistent, exactly. If you don't have that, you're not going to win a championship.
Right.
And Cleveland doesn't have a bench. Like, Boston's bench, their starters, all of them can get their own shot. All of them can knock down 20. They got at least three starters that can get 20. And then they got Smart coming off the bench. They got two other players that can create their own point. What does Cleveland have that's going to match up against Boston? And it made me mad that everybody picked Cleveland. I'm like, they have a way better starters than them, a way better bench. They can consistently make plays. And you see when he started scoring, like, he made over 20 points the first quarter. What else did he do the second half? He got tired. And his support, his teammates didn't help him.
Okay.
I mean, it's simple as that, but people want to give him all the credit and say, but now when they lose or whatever, they gonna blame, y'all blamed him when Kyrie got hurt. Y'all blamed him when Kevin Love got hurt. Like, come on. Maybe the team is just better than them. Have y'all ever thought about that? But that's just a whole other topic.
Q-Led, you just said so much in the last 3 minutes there, but yeah, I have to agree with you. He is a flopper and a crybaby, and I hate that. Now.
Yeah, like, but that's so not 90s basketball. Like I said, I'm from 90s basketball,
yeah.
But you guys, a showing up hit in the jaw.
Oh, yeah. And
he was ready for that five.
Absolutely.
I grew up with Gary Payton. I grew up with Hakeem Olajuwon, all those greats, and Charles Oakley, those great defenses that was ready to sock you in your jaw for any kind of thing. And Gary Payton, I remember he was on Kevin Garnett's show talking about that they would team up and be like, oh, you're going to get the super. If they had a superstar on the team, they was willing to get fined to put hands on somebody. Like, they would all make a collective. I'm like, what happened to that? But then it got kind of saucy, that Boston game. You see that game where, what's his name? Thompson tried to get saucy with, what's his name? What was it? I can't remember. Thompson was trying to get saucy with, Horford. Was it Horford? I forgot who it was, but he was trying to call trash and Smart rolled up on him. Oh, I think it was Moore.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
who it was.
I saw that.
I was like, you should sock him in his jaw, because he another soft one. Bust him right in his jaw. You need to worry about your baby and your family. That's what you need to worry about, talking trash. I hope Smart said something like that, the reason why he popped off or something, or Moore's.
Okay.
That's what I want back.
Okay.
And then we don't end the show now. It's Soul Savage Radio, but I just want to say this is my Savvy Heathen talk. J.R. Smith, I hope the next game, I hope Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart bust you in your jaw for that flagrant 2 foul. I don't care what the ref said. That was a flagrant 2 foul, and you're sorry, and you raggedy for that. That's my Savvy Heathen talk. Yeah, I want to say something else. J.R. Smith looked like a hot roach in a microwave. Where did you say Savvy Heathen talk before we go?
I ain't got nothing after that.
J.R. Smith is trash. I can't stand it. They got between Soul Savage Radio. We will be back next Friday. We air every Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific Standard Time, 8 to 10.
All right. Hey, and listen, hey, stay tuned, everybody,
get
because coming up next.
Boston.
It could be. We have to take this conversation up later because I have to agree with you on a lot of things, but we're out of time, so we'll get back to it next week.
Right.
Hey, Whitney, thank you so much.
We are. Thank you, Whitney, for coming on.
Yes.
Co-founder is told by her.
That's
Whitney,
right.
Whitney was out here partying. She's trying to get loose out here. She's trying to get her 40 ounces together. She told me she out here knocking back 40
yeah.
ounces and stuff at parties and stuff,
it.
So.
And see, and also Q-Land, I don't think we gave Whitney a proper applause early because Whitney, this is in the budget now.
Yeah. Like I told y'all, Pepsi Whitney, not Coke Whitney.
That's right. Hey, congratulations. Hey, congratulations, Whitney.
Not Coke Whitney.
Hey, coming up later.
I'm going to this Janet Jackson groove real quick. No sleep, just the joint.
Hey,
Jimmy
stay tuned.
Terry Lewis came with that hit again.
That's right. At 7:30, we've got Braxton's back. And tomorrow, hey, guess what? Starting off the prayer ministry and then the Eden as an act of worship ministry show with Ann Taylor.
Great as an act of worship ministry.
Hey.
I'm here for it.
That's right.
Ann Taylor gives great advice. She told me as much as my heart desires, drink up. I appreciate that. That's great advice.
Oh.
Many glasses of wine, I won't. I appreciate that.
I don't think it quite went that way, but it's all right. And then Dan Sturdivant.
As an act of worship. I appreciate it.
Dan Sturdivant tomorrow night. Dansby. And that's
go.
Vocal tips.
Dansby.
That's right, folks.
You got to get him back.
28 right. Soon on the show. And brand new show, Sunday Night Q-Land. That is the Golden Age of Music. That Sunday Night Gold on the Buzz. We're going back. Martha and the Vandellas. The Temptations. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Oh, my God. Hey, it's going to be great, folks. Stevie Wonder. Stay tuned for Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Have fun.
Hey. Yeah, yeah.
Just a little more, yeah. Just a little more, yeah. Just a little more, hey. Just a little. You taste real life, I taste yours. Sweet at first, but after a while, too much sugar, they say it's bad for your smile. And I wear a frown now, cause I miss real. I miss a warm house and home-cooked meals. And you miss junk food, that's why we work. You bring cooked food, and I bring dessert. And meet up at the place that we always do. The one swimming through my mind, that was always you. Our time together has inspired a song or two, or three, or four, or more, me or more. I'm sure either you're the one, or I'm caught in the matrix. Staying up for hours while we talk and get wasted. Not for weed smoke or this cheap wine. Drunk off love, we both feel deep down. We're too scared to say, cause we know how this ends. Thinking maybe we be better off friends with benefits. For the moment, this adrenaline got me feeling like a kid again. Butterflies like MJ, had to fit it in my schedule. Check the bezel, gotta skate by six. Damn, how'd it get so late so quick? The sun rising. Until the next time, I love diving in your mind and coming out with every diamond I can find. No sleep.
All right, hey, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've got Braxis back. Coming here live on Studio W The Buzz. And so in the meantime, I think what I'll do is just cue up some great music for you. If you have a request, why don't you give us a call? That's toll free anywhere in the U.S. That's 844-978-8346. This is Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Stay tuned and have fun, everyone.
You know I love music.